Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it, the Daily Daily Caller Podcast for April 2nd, 2019. I hope you survived April Fool's Day. I actually went to the DMV, or the MVA as it's called here in Maryland. I did not have high hopes for it. I'd set up an appointment last week online for 1:15 on Monday, and they gave me a half an hour window, and I'm thinking, I'm never getting out of there. I'm going in and I'm never coming out. And I went in there, I got into a gigantic line, then I saw a short line, and I said, huh, I wonder what that short line is for. So I told the guy behind me in line, I said, I just got to go ask a question. Went up to somebody, asked a question. They said, oh, if you have an appointment, you can get in the short line. Got in the short line, got through it in like 2 minutes, got my number, didn't even get a chance to sit down. I was called, cutting in front of everybody because I made an appointment. Got my driver's license renewed and everything because it expires in June on my birthday. And then I was out of there. I think the whole process took about 15 minutes. I was absolutely shocked. Shocked. Anyway, I'm Derek Hunter. You're never going to hear me say I had a really good experience with the bureaucracy. You don't hear anybody say that, but I actually had a pretty damn good experience with the bureaucracy. It cost $48 to renew my license, but other than that, it was a good experience. And I brought a Target bag full of everything that because you have to, if you're not an illegal alien in Maryland, you have to really prove who you are and where you live. If you're an illegal alien, most of this stuff is waived, but I had brought a passport. I brought some W-2s with my Social Security number on it. I brought some bills. I brought some letters. I brought everything I possibly could. And you would think, you know, your old driver's license would have been enough to renew it, but that's not how Maryland works for, you know, Americans. That part was annoying, but I didn't really care. I was just happy to be out of there before I died of old age. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for being my therapy here as I complain about the Maryland bureaucracy, but I don't really have any complaints. They did a good job. As always, please tell a friend, continue to share the show on social media. We only grow because of you, and I thank you for that. You can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. Good times as always, and I'll try to respond to every single one of you that I can. So much to get to. A bit of news. I'm doing this show early today because I have to try and get some kind of sleep tonight or last night. I'm taking the train up to New York City to do Fox Nation at noon. So if you're a Fox Nation member, tune in at noon and I'll be on there with Joe Concha and somebody from the Wall Street Journal and somebody else, I think. And it'll be a half an hour discussion about the state of media and how they've just soiled themselves. In the Mueller story. That should be fun. I always like going up to New York, and then I'm going to try and meet up with my publisher while I'm up there. So that'll be good. So, yeah, I have to get this done because I got to catch an early train. Oh, so the news. That means I'm going to get to a lot of things. And if something really gigantic breaks at midnight tonight, we'll talk about it tomorrow. A second accuser, Uncle Joe Biden, crazy Uncle Joe Biden. I'm telling you, I believe in my he's had aneurysms surgery theory that something happens in the brain of somebody when they've had aneurysms and open, you know, their head has been opened. Joe Biden has a second accuser, and this is just going to keep on going. Now, where are these things coming from? I got an angry email from a liberal, a nice hate mail. Told me, amongst other things, to go and F myself and get cancer and all of that. But in it, he was whining and complaining, these women are coming forward, and if it were a Republican and blah, 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 blah. But he kind of touched on something interesting. He said, and I don't want to give his name because I don't want to feed the beast. I think he's unstable, and the people I've showed this to, his emails to, because he emails pretty regularly, also agree that he could become violent. But he says the difference between Biden and Trump, Democrats won't vote for Biden because of these allegations, amongst other things. I just wanted to read that one little part. And that is exactly why these allegations are coming out. Joe Biden in every poll is leading the pack. Now, this is early. This is way early. And it's telling that people are so panicked about Joe Biden that they don't really have faith in their ability to break through. This is kind of the liberal philosophy when it comes to economics. Rather than people try to, I don't know, build a company or build their own personal wealth to rise up, they'd much rather advocate for and vote for policies and push for things that drag the top down. They think that's fair. It's not a rising tide lifts all boats. It's a receding tide sinks all boats. Let's do that. Let's go that route instead. What they don't realize is that the vast majority of, it's something like 86% or something like that, of the Fortune 500 companies back in the 1950s don't exist anymore. They're gone. They're not in the Fortune 500 anymore. The top 1%, as the left likes to demonize, is not a static group by any stretch of the imagination. We have income mobility in this country. So people earn more money. They go up into the higher, the 1, the 5, the 10%, and other people drop out of it. Incredibly wealthy people fall on hard times and become bankrupt or become, you know, middle class, things go wrong, all kinds of things happen. In these socialist countries, it's pretty much the rich are the rich, the powerful are the powerful, and everybody else are the worker bees. Oh, they're all relatively equal and able to just get by, but you see how well that works out with the yellow vest protests in France, because human beings want to aspire. Human beings want to improve their lot in lives. And when government controls the economy to the extent it does in those countries, it is nearly impossible. You can't really get the loans to start a business. You can't jump through all the hoops to start a business. You can't afford to start a business because you can't really save anything. But don't worry, you don't have to save for retirement. Government's going to take care of you in the end. So you stagnate life. You also stagnate innovation, by the way, people who want innovation. But they're scared of Joe Biden because he is polling higher than everybody else. It's three white dudes up at the top. Uncle Joe, Crazy Uncle Bernie, and cultural appropriator Beto, Robert Francis O'Rourke. And you hear Democrats say, well, we don't need to nominate another white dude. Well, the Democrats are concerned, not that they're going to nominate a white dude. The Democrats running in the field are concerned that they're not going to be the white person that gets the nomination. So they're seeking to destroy the early leader. Yesterday, I told you about Julia Flores out in, I think it was Arizona or Nevada, who had accused Joe Biden of getting handsy and sniffing her hair and kissing her head and just being a weirdo, just a flat-out weirdo. Well, now there is another woman. And, of course, this is in addition to the ones we have all the video of that he's done in public. This story from the Hartford Courant. Quote, a Connecticut woman says Joe Biden touched her inappropriately and rubbed noses with her during a 2009 political fundraiser in Greenwich when he was vice president, drawing further scrutiny to the Democrat and his history of unwanted contact with women as he ponders a presidential run. Her name is Amy Lapos. She told the paper, quote, it wasn't sexual, but he did grab me by my head. He put his hand around my neck and pulled me in to rub noses with me. When he was pulling me in, I thought, is he going to kiss me on the mouth? That would be too normal for Joe. He acts, I don't know, is he an Eskimo? Is he part Eskimo? Can he get a 23andMe DNA test like Elizabeth Warren did if he's more than 1,024th Eskimo? Is that then okay that he's rubbing noses with these women? That's so weird. This is, again, what I mean by the people who had aneurysms. They lose their sense of what's of normal, what's sane, what's comfortable, what's couth. But there are all kinds of stories like that. I don't believe for a second that Joe Biden is a sexual deviant out there with a string of lovers in his wake cheating on his wife. I wouldn't be surprised if he had cheated on his wife, but I don't see him as a playboy that does it serially like Bill Clinton. You tell me Bill Clinton did that, yeah, I believe that. It's all in his personality. Joe Biden's just a weirdo. Just a weirdo that Jill Biden puts up with him is strange to me, too. But these stories are coming out now because the field is afraid. They want to take somebody out. Joe Biden polls around 35 to 37% of the electorate right now in the Democratic primary. If he drops out, if he withdraws, if he's no longer an option, that means that there'd be 35 to 37% of the voters desperately scrambling to try and find somebody else. Now, history tells us that the majority of them will fall back on the next choice, the, you know, or yeah, lower 30 percentile, Bernie Sanders, and then right behind him, Beto O'Rourke. They'll benefit more than anybody else. But there's a possibility that somebody who's polling at 2 or 3% could tick up to 5 to 10%. And those are likely the people who are behind this, dripping this out, encouraging these people. Yesterday's accuser, Flores, was a big Bernie supporter. There's a big conspiracy theory there. Morning Joe's Mika Brzezinski, in her lithium-hazed, glassy-eyed look, asked yesterday, is it okay? Are we allowed to talk about how this woman's a big Bernie supporter? She's a big fan of Joe Biden there, Mika is. It's amazing what pharmaceuticals will make people do and think. But other than that, there's not much questioning going on, because most people know that this is true. This is what Joe Biden does, because we've seen Joe Biden do it in the public for a decade. I will say that what he does is creepy. It would make most people uncomfortable because it's somebody they are unfamiliar with touching them, and people don't like that. But it's not like he's patting asses and grabbing boobs. The latest accuser in this story was compared to Al Franken. But Al Franken was not only accused of groping or posing for that picture like he was grabbing Leanne Tweeden's boobs while she was asleep, he was also accused of forcibly kissing her. He was also accused by a couple of other women of inappropriate touching and forcible kissing. That's a little bit different than Uncle Joe sort of kissing you on the top of the head. It's still inappropriate. It's still something you shouldn't do as a normal human adult, but it is not sexual in any way, unless there's some sort of weird-ass kink out there that I don't know anything about, which is entirely possible. But it's just kind of funny watching the Democrats desperately try and destroy Joe Biden. If you don't think, if you're one of these candidates, if you don't think that you can destroy Joe Biden, who is unmoored by reality, unbothered by truth, if you can't destroy him in a debate or on the campaign trail, if you have to destroy him personally, that tells you a lot about what you think your chances and your skills and your abilities are. I suspect these stories are going to continue to come out. There is now an incentive for these women to come forward. The incentive is if, A, they support another candidate, they'll suddenly become a hero, and B, they know they've got gushy, soft, easy press coming to them. Even though the press is kind of trying to cover for him, at least they were after the first one. This is an actual, swear to God, honest headline in the Washington Post. Quote, Joe Biden's affectionate physical style with women comes under scrutiny. Affectionate physical style. Now, it took four reporters to write this. Four of them. I'm not going to be able to pronounce most of their names, but just Elise Vibeck, Colby Itzkowitz, Michael Scherer, and Matt Visser. I guess I was. And this is how the media writes it. If it's a Democrat, imagine what it would be. And again, I agree that I don't think Joe Biden, I think he's a weirdo. I don't think he's a sexual pervert. I could be wrong. I'm open to the possibility that I'm wrong. But this is not how a Republican would be treated with these same or even remotely close allegations. They write, in some of the photos, Joe Biden is behind the women, his hands on their shoulders, as he whispers in their ears. He embraces Hillary Clinton, his hands around her torso. He kisses a young girl's head, his fingers framing her face as she looks blankly toward the camera. This affectionate and sometimes intimate physical style is one of the former vice president's trademarks, a defining feature of the warm and upbeat persona he has built during more than four decades in the national spotlight. Gag. You believe this garbage? Hey, you know what? Yes, here's a picture. The picture is of Bill Clinton grabbing an intern's breast and hiking up her skirt. This image is one that Bill has cultivated over years of warm and glowing and orgasmic relations with interns, and is part of his wonderful persona. But the appropriateness of Biden's physical behavior towards women is now being questioned. It's not now being questioned. Conservatives, we've been questioning it forever since that one day, I think it was 2010, maybe it was 2009, I forget when they had that swearing-in ceremony, and every time there was a spouse, a woman sitting there, he's getting creepy with them. The daughters, he's getting creepy with them. Not sexual, just really kind of weird. We've been talking about this forever. The mainstream media has been ignoring it, but now that it has become a weapon in Democratic Party politics, suddenly it's become an issue recently. Biden's physical contact with Democratic politicians penned a viral internet piece describing an alleged 2014 encounter that left her offended and uncomfortable. As Biden prepares to announce whether he will run for president in 2020, the episode has raised questions about whether the older self-described, quote, fingertip politician is well suited for the White House in the wake of the Me Too movement and at a moment of rapidly shifting social norms. Biden, and this is where they really double down on sniffing his throne, Biden, an outspoken critic of domestic violence. Who is there, like, an outspoken critic in favor of domestic violence? Is there an outspoken advocate on behalf of domestic violence? You're not going to hear that very often. He led the effort to pass the Violence Against Women Act in 1994, has also faced sharp criticism from women over his handling of the Anita Hill hearings in 1991 and his subsequent comments about the topic. They lead you to believe that this is why these women are coming forward now. They are offended at his statement last week when he talked about the Anita Hill hearing and that he didn't go far enough in apologizing for how she was treated when he said, gee, I wish I could have done something to control that hearing, when, in fact, as I told you last week, he was the chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. He could have ruled that thing with an iron fist and stopped anything from happening, and he didn't. He let everybody do whatever they wanted to do, which is how a hearing should be held in a situation like that. And every hearing should be held in a situation like that. But now that's a problem. That's a problem in the hashtag Believe All Women and the Me Too movement. And you ever notice that it's the Democrats who are getting bit on the ass with this? There have been a couple of Republicans ensnared in this, but it's not nearly as many as the Democrats who've gotten caught in this web of being kind of creepy or flat out straight up perverts. I don't know if Joe Biden will drop out over this. I don't think he should, to be perfectly. I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden no matter what. I'm going to vote for Trump. But I think somebody has to draw the line here. Joe Biden, if nothing else, and I think that this could damage him in a Democratic primary and might cost him the nomination. Who knows? It's way too far away to know. But I think Biden could really serve the Democratic Party and the country, quite frankly, a really great service by not dropping out. Hear me out here for just a second. Again, never going to vote Democrat, but the Democratic Party has gone so far insane that they're, sadly, Joe Biden has engaged in this too, that they are now embracing racism again, openly rather than overtly, or rather than covertly. And somebody has to be the adult over there. Now, Joe Biden's the worst example to possibly be an adult, but he could do it, especially if he's flailing in the polls. They need kind of a sister soldier moment where somebody over there stands up and says, this is ridiculous. It doesn't matter what somebody's skin tone is. It's about who they are as a person and what they want to do. And we need to knock this crap off for the good of the country. Somebody has to say that sooner or later, or we're really going to get screwed in this country. No one's been willing to do it. Joe Biden could be that guy. But I don't know that he's going to survive that long because of other things. And it would be nice for Joe Biden to stand up and say, look, I didn't do anything here. I apologize if I made some people be uncomfortable. That's how I am. I'll stop doing it. And that's it. But I'm not a pervert, unless he is a pervert. Who knows? But instead, that's not likely to happen. We get headlines like this one from the Huffington Post. And this is what somebody over there has to stand up to and say, this is not acceptable, and start leading against this crap. The headline, I'm an Asian woman engaged to a white man, and honestly, I'm struggling with that. How screwed up do you have to be? What is wrong with you? Well, it's not unique on the left. On March 29th of this year, the New York Times ran an op-ed entitled, quote, I broke up with her because she's white. Again, the Klan could not have asked for more. This, you know, the death to all race mixers mantra is alive and well and on the left. These people have mental deficiencies. Again, from The Cut, this one from March 21st of last year. Headline, am I finally done with white guys? Bum, bum, bum. 2017 New York Times headline, Can My Children Be Friends with White Kids? Nobody's calling this out as racist bullshit that it is on the left. The right does it, but the left doesn't care what the right has to say. It has to come from within their own party. Somebody has to denounce this. That person could be Joe Biden, but then last week he went and said, we need to change this white guy culture. It's so bad and wrong. And then he lied about where the term rule of thumb came from and used something started by feminists in the 1970s to claim that it was about beating your wife, which is a lie. So maybe there are no adults over there on the left. And Joe Biden, maybe he should drop out of the race. Because it doesn't seem like he's going to get any support. It's just these people have some serious, serious problems. And they really are incredible racists. And nobody wants to call them out on it. That would be my hope. Because Joe Biden's really the only one who could do it. Joe Biden's the only one with the kind of national respect, not among Democrats or just among Democrats, but even people who wouldn't vote for him respect him for whatever reason. I'm not among them. But he could do it. And they desperately need, this country desperately needs somebody to stand up to this racist, lunatic fringe. It's not even the fringe anymore. There's no Afghan left. It's all just fringe over there on the left. Somebody has to stand up and call him out on this. Doesn't look like Joe will be around long enough to be that guy. It's a shame because Lord knows they could use that guy. Then again, even if they had that guy, there's no guarantee they'd listen to them. Barack Obama did come out in favor of free speech on college campuses on several occasions. He didn't really follow it up with any policies or real pressure, but he did pay lip service to the concept, and that didn't stop Democrats from being riotous loons whenever anybody with a contrary opinion showed up on their college campuses. So there's no guarantee it would take, but we'll never know unless somebody actually tries. This racism, it's sick, and it's got to be stopped, and it has to be stopped from within. Nobody's going to take a lecture from without and say, you know what, the other side is making a good point about how we're racist. It has to come from within, and there isn't a single Democrat willing to do it because there's too much political mileage to be gained by going along with it. I want to talk a little bit about this big scoop, alleged scoop from the Associated Press yesterday. Oh, the media, of course, went nuts with this because they can ascribe nefarious motives to it. But there's nothing, again, this is Congress complaining about things that Congress set up. If Congress doesn't like these things, they can change them. The headline from the Associated Press official, : Trump team overruled 25 security clearance denials. Ooh, and you think, holy cow, what's going on here? I'm old enough to remember that during the Clinton administration, they waived drug tests for a lot of people because so many of them would have tested positive for weed. And nobody was outraged then. And the story reads, A career official in the White House Security Office says dozens of people in President Donald Trump's administration were granted security clearances despite disqualifying issues in their background, such as concerns about foreign influence, drug use, and criminal conduct. Tricia Newbold, an 18-year government employee who oversees the issuance of clearances for some senior White House aides, says she compiled a list of at least 25 officials who were initially denied security clearances last year because of their backgrounds. But she says senior Trump aides overturned those decisions, moves that she says weren't in the best interest of national security. We're finding out about this because Elijah Cummings, Maryland Democrat and chairman of the House Oversight and Reform Committee, released this information because he thought he could make political hay about it. The thing is that the President of the United States is the only human being on the planet who can decide what is and is not to be declassified. If he wants to declassify absolutely everything our government has, the president can do that, and it wouldn't be against the law. The president can also decide who gets security clearances and who doesn't. Now, if there are serious concerns, not just that the Kushners, Jared and Ivanka, his father went to prison, if that's it, he's never been arrested, or that they have businesses overseas, I want something a little more substantial than that. But if there's serious, serious concerns, why didn't they list them? They didn't list them because they likely aren't. People get rejected for security clearances all the time, and they have to appeal or clarify or provide additional information, and then they get through. Just like you see background checks all the time turn up false positives, and people who shouldn't have access to a gun by law get them, as we've seen in many cases in the shootings recently. This is an attempt, ladies and gentlemen, to distract from the real issue of the Mueller report. Democrats are desperate to try and say, look at this, we've got all of these people who shouldn't have access to information. They shouldn't be working in the White House. This is an outrage. Well, show me some specifics. Show us some specifics. We shouldn't have known about this in a just world without having some of those details. But for some weird reason, Elijah Cummings decided that the world needed to know some of this stuff, not the reasons why. He says, this is according to the memo that was released. According to Ms. Newbold, these individuals had a wide range of serious disqualifying issues involving foreign influence, conflicts of interest, concerning personal conduct, financial problems, drug use, and criminal conduct. Well, where are these felons? And if they had this criminal conduct, why aren't they under arrest right now? It's not as though there aren't enough Democrats out there willing to go after just about anybody even remotely associated with Donald Trump. Being just throwing this out there is another attempt to see what sticks. It's flinging poo at the wall and seeing what sticks. It is pathetic partisanship. Prove something, show something, say something. Don't just allege something vaguely about random people who we don't know and say, oh, well, you know, they shouldn't. There are people in this administration who shouldn't have security clearances. Okay, who and why? Is that too much to ask? Apparently it is from Democrats. Apparently it is from the media as well, who are also desperate to try and find something to glom onto after their Mueller report wet dreams came to a screeching, screeching, blue-balled halt. This is pathetic. It's not surprising, but it's incredibly pathetic. Meanwhile, Democrats are getting ready to subpoena the hell out of everybody and everything. And this is what they do instead of legislate, instead of try to convince the American people over to their side on issues. They want to investigate. They're not about getting anything done for the next 2 years. They couldn't care less about the next 2 years, no matter how pressing they say an issue is. I mean, they had a chance to vote on the Green New Deal in the Senate, and zero of them voted for it. They don't want to address issues, and they sure as hell don't want the American people to know how they want to address issues. So it is going to become one long episode of Columbo without the fulfilling, satisfying ending. The Bloomberg News reports Democrats begin subpoena process for Mueller report and Trump aides. House Democrats are taking the first step towards issuing subpoenas for the special counsel Robert Mueller's entire report, as well as for documents from five former associates of President Trump, setting up a potential legal showdown. Now, Attorney General Bill Barr has already said he's going through the report and redacting the information that it would be illegal and unethical to release. And you know what else? Robert Mueller is helping him redact it. I want to play you something here from Rachel Maddow, the buzzed cut 9 p.m. host over at MSNBC, perhaps the leading conspiracy theorist on everything Russia related. She is lying to her audience still. I know that's not a surprise, but it has to be said in pretty plain terms. It is, well, I'll explain after you listen to this.
This is a thing that Mueller's team does in its sleep. It is hard to believe that they'd leave the newly 68-year-old Attorney General William Barr to himself personally pick through the report to try to figure out what mentions in this 400-page report might pertain to open cases. They wouldn't leave that to Barr to do that. Mueller would have done that. Mueller's team would have done that as part of producing anything that they handed over outside their own offices. They've done that with every other document they have produced in the course of this investigation. You'd assume they'd be able to do that for this document, too. But William Barr says, it's taken him a really long time because he's having to do all that himself.
I would like to note that across the bottom of the screen is the chyron while she's talking, while she's babbling. And it says that Mueller is helping the Attorney General go through and redact the report. So what's written on the screen is contradicting what Rachel Maddow is saying there. But there's something more sinister here and more ridiculous here that Maddow is doing. When Robert Mueller submitted information to various courts, that information, those documents, became part of the public record immediately, and therefore he had to be careful about what he was submitting. That is what she is talking about. His sole purpose as the special counsel was to write a report on his findings for the Attorney General of the United States, who is now William Barr. He would not have any reason, in fact, would be in direct violation of the law under which he was operating if he withheld information, if he redacted information in that report. Do you see why? This report was not written for a court filing. This report was not written for Congress. This report was not written for MSNBC. This report was written for one human being, and one human being only, the Attorney General of the United States of America. Nothing can be redacted from that. He was to be given everything that the special counsel found. So when you're writing a very specific report for a very specific person on very specific instances, you do not have to redact anything, Rachel. Now, the millions of people, or 1.5 million, or whatever the hell it was, watching Rachel Maddow last night, were lied to directly. They probably weren't reading the bottom of the screen and realizing, and they mostly don't know what a special counsel does, but a special counsel was appointed in this case to investigate Russia's attempted interference in the 2016 election. His sole job was to investigate that and write a report of his findings for the Attorney General. He can't say to the Attorney General, hey, man, there's some stuff I found that I can't tell you, because that's not his job. His job was to tell the Attorney General everything. Yet Rachel Maddow goes on her show and lies to her audience. There will be no repercussions. There will be no ramifications. There will be no pushback. There will be no outrage over this. No one bothers to fact check this stuff, even though it's right there, plain as day, easy to do. I just did it. I understand how the law works. Her audience will now go out and post this clip on Facebook, post this clip on Twitter, and this clip will go viral, and a whole bunch of people will say, this is an outrage. Can you believe what is happening? They're trying to pull a fast one on the American people yet again. What are they hiding? And that's what MSNBC wants. The alternative would be to have to address what MSNBC is hiding, what MSNBC is doing, and how they are lying to their audience. And they don't want to do that. They can't do that. They've already suffered a massive hemorrhage of audience. They can't afford to lose the true believers they have left. So they're content to have Rachel Maddow go out there and lie. And right on the screen, it says, you know, Mueller is helping with this process. Well, if Mueller's team already did this, Rachel, why would Mueller be helping with this process? What need would he have to help with this process? Right there on the bottom of the screen, it says special counsel is assisting with retractions. So she's saying that the attorney general, the 68-year-old or whatever the age was, he's doing this all by himself. And why would he have to do this other than hint, hint, subtext, lie and hide and obfuscate? No. They're doing it because they wrote a report for him, specifically for him, containing information that only he could legally see and cannot be disseminated to the public, including Congress, because it involves ongoing investigations. It involves people who are not guilty of anything. It involves privileged information, confidential information, classified information. We don't know the extent to which this report goes. How deep it goes. But we do know that Robert Mueller, who they're still trying to confer sainthood on because they need some kind of saint in this, is involved in this process. So if Robert Mueller felt that he was being shafted, again, this cannot be stressed enough, he knows how to reach out to the New York Times. He knows how to reach out to Rachel Maddow. He knows how to reach out to probably 300 journalists pretty easily. And he hasn't. We haven't heard any complaints. Mueller's team of 19 investigators, not one of those lawyers has said this is an outrage what the attorney general is doing. He's trying to hide things. We haven't heard squat from these people. You know why? Because everything is being done legally and above board. And legally and above board is not the friend of the conspiracy theorist leftists. So you get little bowl cut Rachel out there going, this is an outrage. Why would this happen? Nobody watches MSNBC seems to understand how the law works, or they don't care. Certainly nobody who works at MSNBC understands how the law works or seems to care. But it matters. It really does. And here's the thing about Elijah Cummings and what he's doing with releasing that bit of information and with what Rachel Maddow is doing there and what the entire media is doing. Yesterday it was Jake Tapper going, I don't know of anything that CNN got wrong. I don't know what you're talking about. If the truth served them well, they'd just tell the truth. There's a reason they're telling half-truths, quarter-truths, or straight-out lies. It's because the truth doesn't serve them well. There's a reason they don't really talk about the details of what they want to do and what it would mean if you, say, got so-called universal health care. They don't really want to get into the details of that, single-payer Medicare for all, because the details are where the problems lie for them. You get into the details and you understand that they're going to have to ration care. They're going to have to create long wait lines. They're going to have to decide which treatments people in this country should be able to get based on cost. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to think about that because that makes you go, hey, wait a second. That's a pretty crappy deal. Why would I sign up for that? The people who tell you half-truths and quarter-truths or flat-out lies aren't doing it because they're misinformed. Elijah Cummings is the chairman of the House Reform and Oversight Committee. He has access to all this information. He knows all the details. He omitted those details for a reason. Most likely because those details don't back up his hypothesis. Rachel Maddow, theoretically, she's supposedly a Rhodes Scholar. I've never actually seen her be brilliant aside from as a propagandist. She's Leni Riefenstahl with shorter hair. She knows what's going on. I believe she's a lawyer. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But I know there are enough lawyers around MSNBC that somebody would understand how the special counsel statute works and that this report was not written for general consumption. But she's counting on her audience not knowing. And that allows her to manipulate her audience any way she sees fit. And that's what she does. If you ever watch her show, she looks like Beaker from the old Muppet Show, just mugging around for the camera. She doesn't say everything. She leaves it to interpretation. She does that for a couple of reasons. Because progressives' minds, anybody's minds who's fully on board with some kind of conspiracy theory, will fill in the blanks in whatever way is necessary for them to make sense of a story. So why mess with that? It also allows Rachel Maddow to say she never actually fully said those things. She just walked right up to the edge, rolled her eyes, did it, kind of like Bill Cosby eating some pudding in those old commercials and going, well, you know what I'm saying. Roll, 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 wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. Then when the feces hits the fan, Rachel Maddow can say, I never said that he wasn't working with her. I never explicitly said that the attorney general was obstructing justice and trying to protect the president. No, you just implied the hell out of it. She's very smart in her ability to manipulate her audience. And she has to be that way. She loses her audience, she loses her job. If she tells her audience the truth, she loses her job. She has a double incentive there to be what she is. And it pays well. She gets like $10 million a year to do this crap. But it's just shocking to me that this would go out on what is considered to be a major cable news network. What is he hiding? What's going on there? Why wouldn't Mueller's people have already taken out all this information before they submitted their report to the Attorney General? Because their entire job is to report to the Attorney General everything they find. That's why you don't take it out of there, Rachel. Your poor audience, you can really walk away from watching MSNBC dumber than you were going in. And that's getting down into dangerous, dangerous territory if you do that. Another bit of sloppy journalism or just, I don't know, projection journalism. A lot of times journalists project onto their subjects that which they hope is true. Their hopes and dreams, and many times they're dashed. Never put your hopes and dreams into another person, especially a politician. Fulfill them on your own. This story, this version comes from The Hill newspaper. Joe Concha reports, headline, AP mocked for report saying Beto O'Rourke spoke at rally in his native Spanish. Now, if you've just heard the name Beto O'Rourke, you might think that he has some Spanish in him somewhere, but he doesn't. It's kind of amazing to me that Robert Francis O'Rourke, born into a wealthy family and then married a billionaire's daughter, gets such a pass from the media. He actually was kind of conservative back in the past, conservative for a Democrat. But once that became inoperative and inopportune and unfortunate and a liability in the Democratic Party, he, like Kirsten Gillibrand, threw that over the side and said, no, 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 open borders, Medicare for all, abortion on demand up till age 20. The child, and everything you can possibly imagine just on down the line. He wants to tear down the wall in El Paso, Texas, that separates El Paso from the hellhole that is the city of Mexico right across the other side of the wall. Well, the Associated Press had a report on his rally because he had some rallies over the weekend. I think he actually made his official campaign announcement, too. Napoleon Dynamite. I can just imagine he's like air karate chopping and kicking everything as he convulses up on stage. Well, the Associated Press, the story read, quote, in part, O'Rourke spoke at length in his native Spanish, eliciting loud and sustained cheers. Bobby O'Rourke is a fourth generation Mick, full-blooded Mick, Irish dude. I can say Mick because I'm part Irish. Irish dude, four generations back, purebred, Irish dude. He is not, his native would be Gaelic, if anything, but his native tongue is English. Yet, to make him seem hip, to make him seem Spanish, he's portrayed as, well, it's his native tongue, Spanish. Why is it that Beto gets a pass for culturally appropriating, you know, the word Beto, his nickname, Beto? Why is that cool? But if a white guy orders Chinese food, somehow that's racist. Or makes tacos and sells them. You're not the right kind of person to make this kind of food. These are real things that happened, ladies and gentlemen. Look them up. It's sad and pathetic. Not surprising, but sad and pathetic. Speaking of sad and pathetic, it wouldn't be a day that ends in Y without Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez making a fool of herself on social media. In many ways, she's an incredible multitasker. Unfortunately, none of the tasks she actually accomplishes are anything I think she wants to accomplish, but who cares? It's fun anyway. She was on her Twitter account, and she was at LaGuardia. She's at LaGuardia Airport to fly to Reagan National because Congress doesn't work on Mondays, ladies and gentlemen. All of us suckers work on Mondays. So she's flying back to D.C. for the bed check vote, if there was one in the House, or just to get back to her fancy apartment down by the waterfront in Washington, D.C. And it's kind of funny because she's, again, tweeting. She tweeted out this. I'll just read what she wrote. Quote, "Croissants at LaGuardia are going for $7 a piece. Yet some people think getting a whole hour of personal, dedicated human labor for $15 is too expensive." She, of course, is whining and complaining about her push for the $15 minimum wage, the fight for 15, that sort of garbage. It's kind of, first off, why is she flying to Washington, D.C.? I can vouch for the fact that you can get on the train back and forth from New York City pretty easily. I'm, in fact, doing that today. I'm going to be on Fox Nation around noon to talk about the media. I'm taking a train in the morning. I'm taking a train back in the afternoon, in the evening. It takes you right from downtown Washington right to downtown New York, Madison Square Garden. If you fly, you have to be there at least an hour, hour and a half earlier to get through security, to get to make sure everything's okay, everybody's flown. And then to get out of the airport is a hassle once you get there, plus you have an hour flight time. It is literally within minutes the same amount of time to take the train as it is to fly. Yet Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who looks at air travel as a problem because of the massive carbon footprint that airplanes release, as a problem and wants to ban it, wants to impose high-speed rail on the entire country, has access to high-speed rail and chooses not to take it. Isn't that rich? Isn't that just a bit of hypocrisy? I love that hypocrisy. She says, well, she's trying to save time. You literally save no time going to the airport. There are trains every hour. There are trains, actually two trains. There's a regional train and an Acela train. The Acela shaves off like a half an hour. The Northeast Corridor is the only place Amtrak actually makes a profit because it's so efficient and so much easier than flying. Yet she doesn't want to take the train. That's dealing with riffraff. You have to sit there in a car for 3 hours with riffraff. She'd much rather hide in an airport surrounded by staff, making sure that nobody recognizes her so that nobody can call her out on her bullshit. She's a raging hypocrite. But the real question is, who's paying? If she thinks that a job selling hamburgers is worth $15 an hour, she should open up a hamburger joint and pay people $15 an hour, you would think. She then followed up her tweet. She says, GOP taking every tweet so earnestly, making my point for me. It's not an argument against the price of a croissant. It's about the value of human worth. God, she's an idiot, even in written form. But I guess that idea is foreign to them since their policies treat people as disposable anyway. Now, of course, it's the progressive philosophy with the pile of 100 million dead in the 20th century. But, you know, if you want to know what a liberal is really up to, take a look at what they're accusing their opponents of doing. But the idea that it's not about the price of the croissant. Well, first of all, I didn't buy. It seemed a little bit rich. $15 for a croissant seemed a little, or $7 for one croissant. You can buy a dozen of them at Costco for $6, and they're tasty. But whatever, you can charge whatever you want. If I see a $7 croissant, I'm not buying a $7 croissant. I think most people aren't buying a $7 croissant. You know what happens? They go bad. They get thrown out. And either they stop selling croissants or they lower the price of a croissant down to the point that people are willing to pay it. That is the market. You would think somebody who took some economic classes in college would understand that. But then again, we're dealing with AOC and she's not particularly bright. But doing the Lord's work, the Washington Free Beacon did a little bit of research. I love this. They write, In reality, LaGuardia Airport in New York already has a $15 minimum wage. Andrew Kerr of the Daily Caller pointed out that LaGuardia has a higher minimum rate than the target number of most progressives. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey approved a $19 minimum wage for many LaGuardia workers in September of 2018. Also, beep-a-doo-ba-doo, Ocasio-Cortez did not need to drop $7 if she wanted a croissant. Moreover, if she's willing to accept pastries from Aubon Pan in LaGuardia's Terminal C, she can get a croissant there for only $3.29. The Washington Free Beacon confirmed this in a phone call. In a separate call, a representative of Aubon Pan at LaGuardia explained that the minimum wage is $15 an hour for some staff, $19 an hour for airport workers in the new terminal. So not only is she an economic illiterate, she's just a moron on top of it. It was lying. She shouldn't have been at the airport in the first place. If she really believes that we only have 12 years left to live and we're destroying the planet, she should be taking the train. But she's not going to do that. There's nothing about this woman that isn't a complete and total fraud. I look forward to the next MSNBC hour-long documentary about how wonderful she is, the face and the future of the Democratic Party. Speaking of the face and the future of the Democratic Party, one thing that the Democrats excel at is hooking kids while they're young, because they have a near monopoly on education, particularly public education. They are simply becoming indoctrination schools. If you have kids, you should seriously consider homeschooling them. I'm considering homeschooling them or somehow scraping together the money to send them to a Catholic school or something. Anything other than these factories where I live, especially in Maryland. Oh my God. No way, no how. But it's not just that the education system is indoctrinating these kids. It's the entire culture. It is, you know, every reality show out there, and I'm as guilty as anybody to watch those stupid, mindless, soul-crushing, culture-destroying reality shows. I watch them. I admit. Thanks to you guys, I'm now watching Vanderpump Rules and Summer House. It's the mindless television I wanted, and thank you for that. But it is not something I would inflict on my children, not until they're much older, and can look at it as not something to aspire to, but something to run away from these people and the way they act. But sadly, too many parents don't do that. And so they get this reinforcement from the television, from the music, from the movies. I sound like I'm about to yell, get off my lawn. But really, you shouldn't be on my lawn. What are you doing on my lawn? Get off my lawn. But it's also through the so-called news outlets. Now, when I first heard that this magazine existed, I don't remember when it was. It was years ago. I thought it was disgusting then. I still think it's disgusting now. Teen Vogue. This is, of course, the same people who will call you, you know, you're fat shaming, you're slut shaming, you're doing this shaming, you should positive body image for everybody, blah, 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 blah. And then they have Teen Vogue, which is full of waify models looking super hot after the Photoshop got done with them, and stories about how to attract your boyfriend and how to get him off really quick, and this everything that's in adult Vogue except dumbed down even further. they have taken it upon themselves, and it's been kind of a crusade for them lately, to blur the existence of biological sex. The party, of course, of science does not want to admit the existence of biology, which is, last I checked, a pretty important part of science. They produced a video here. This is a short clip of it about what gender is. Now, I assume most of these people, if not all of these people, are trans. When you hear a high voice, it's a dude. When you hear a low voice, it's a chick. And this is what your, if your kid subscribes to Teen Vogue, go find every copy of it that they have, throw it out, cancel the subscription, block the website, do whatever you have to do, because this is just a taste, just a taste. And I'm a live and let live kind of guy, but they're not living and let living here. They are indoctrinate. And if you then don't follow that, if you don't swallow the right colored pill, if you do not adhere to what they're telling you, if you disagree with it, if you even have questions, you will be destroyed. Do not feed the beast. Do not subscribe to these things. Listen to this video, and this is what teen, it's Teen Vogue. So you're talking 13, 14, 15 years old, because they're not targeting 19-year-olds. Those are people that they want to read real Vogue, which you also shouldn't read. This is targeting teenagers and younger with this crap.
Hi, I'm Hannah Gabby, and I'm here to tell you the binary is
sex typically refers to your biological traits.
There's your gonads, your genitalia, your internal sex characteristics, your hormone production, hormone response, and secondary sex characteristics.
Gender is about your identity, your expression, and it's often based on ideas about sex.
It's important that we really break down what are we talking about when we talk about sex and gender, and is there something called biological sex, and what does that mean?
This idea that the body is either male or female is totally wrong. And I am living proof of that.
We know intersex people exist and break down this binary.
We all have characteristics that are typically male and typically female. And it is really about political choices, social factors, ideological choices that we assign meaning to different parts of our body.
That last person that you heard that sounded like a 16-year-old girl had a goatee and a mustache and a bunch of arm tattoos, and is a lawyer for the ACLU. That's really all you need to know about that person or that video. But this is the kind of crap that they're shoving down kids' throats these days. This is what they're teaching them in public schools. This is what the culture is trying to teach them. The future, if it buys into this crap, is so completely and totally screwed. My children will not be anywhere near this garbage. They're going to learn actual science, not for a political agenda, but so that they know and can function in society. And then maybe if they want to become biologists, they can go out and become biologists. Now, you imagine somebody who bought this crap their whole life, majoring in biology, going to a biology class, and then being completely lost. What? Why are you only saying male and female? What's going on? Or going into medicine? What seems to be the problem? Ma'am or sir? Person? Are you pregnant? Are you a man or a woman who's pregnant? I mean, we're really getting to the point that you can't mock this anymore. You can't parody a parody. Nobody's going to make a parody of the Airplane movies or the Naked Gun movies. You can't parody a parody. We're reaching that point in society now, and it's being led in every prong of our culture. Everything, entertainment, education, politics, you name it, and they are pushing this crap, this garbage, these lies, rather than just saying, okay, if you want to live your life that way, go ahead, knock yourself out. But we're not going to pretend that it's normal. It's not normal. It's an anomaly. It's abnormal. Those words have definitions. They're not meant to judge. They're not meant to make you feel sad about yourself. They're just words. They just are facts. And that is the reality of the world. There's normal and there's abnormal. Who's to say which is better? But you live your life how you want. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but I'm also not going to celebrate how you choose to live your life, nor am I going to ask you to celebrate how I live mine. How about you do you, I'll do me, and we leave each other the hell alone? That's ideal in this country, in this world. That is unfortunately not how the left functions. You must accept their worldview, their opinions, and anything short of it is a hate crime. If you deviate from what they say things are, you are the problem and you must be destroyed. In many ways, if you really look at it and if you think about it dispassionately and logically, it's exactly like Sharia law. You do exactly what we say. Don't worry about how we live. You have to do what we say, period, dictated from top down. This is now in society. It is slowly creeping its way into actual law. There's a difference between the culture and the law, and that line the left is attempting to blur it, and God help us all if they succeed. But they'll keep trying, and as they keep trying, we'll be right here fighting them every step of the way. I've got to hit the sack. I've got to try and get some sleep before I catch the crack of dawn train to New York. If you are a Fox Nation subscriber, the show's on around noon. If my train is on time, they picked the train. I didn't. If my train is on time, I will be there, and it should be interesting. I love talking about the media and how horrible they are, mostly because I want them to improve. I want them to do what they say they're doing. I want them to actually just report rather than pontificate. I love information. I love news, and it's harder and harder to find these days. Anyway, thank you. You can email the show, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. Be back here tomorrow for another exciting episode. Have a great Tuesday.
This idea that the body is either male or female is totally wrong.